said, I'm Lucas Haig. I'm currently a graduate student working under the direction of Dr. Scott Stagenborg. My area of emphasis is in precision ag and dry land cropping systems. And today I'm going to speak just a little bit about some work we've been doing looking at different stubble heights and the impact on dry land corn production. This is just one component of a larger project we've been working on. We've been looking at post-harvest evaporative losses. This is in a wheat corn fallow rotation, so we're looking at that period from wheat harvest up and through corn planting the next spring. We're looking at winter snow catch, then the impact on subsequent corn yields and trying to figure out some optimal plant populations for different residue conditions. And kind of just building on some of the things Bob mentioned in his presentation, we have a pretty good understanding. We know that increasing residue level impacts grain yields of corn. There's been good research come out of North Platte and Bushland and other places that have shown that relationship. Although most of that work was done with conventionally harvested wheat residue that was redistributed across the plot area. And so with the advent of stripper harvest technology, it's changed the architecture of that residue and we feel has provided a different environment that warrants investigation. And so also some issues, you know, differences in stubble height, how does that affect relation to evaporation and crop ecology after the corn's been planted, where the stubble, instead of lying prostrate on the soil surface, is still somewhat in an upright position, with some disturbance from the planter, of course. And then we know that optimal population is a function of growing season water supply. And we know that taller stubble improves snow catch, and taller stubble reduces evaporation, and so thus we should be providing more water to the plant. It's not very often you come to a meeting like this and hear data from the same county back to back, but we worked in Decatur County, Kansas, and Red Willow County, Nebraska. We had three different stubble heights where we was looking at 4-inch, 10-inch, and 28-inch was a stripped treatment. Plots were approximately 50 feet square, and so what we did, the entire area was harvested with a stripper header, and then we went back with a conventional platform, tried to follow our existing traffic rows to generate our desired stubble heights. There's kind of an idea of that's what the plots looked like when we was done. We left some 12.5-foot alleys in between plots so that the cooperator could reach it with his applicator, this complete no-till system. Threw this slide in here just to emphasize the snow catch, and hopefully soon we'll have a paper coming out on this, but you can look there at the equivalent precip on the strip to the two levels of the cut. We go from over 2.25 inches down to about 6,800s, and so if you assume a 90% storage efficiency, which is kind of what's been shown in our region over winter, that makes a pretty significant difference in what's available for the plant come next spring. So how we laid these plots out, we looked at four populations, 12 up through 21,000. We did a four row as a randomized split block strip plot in that we stripped the populations across each rep, across the stubble treatments. And then each population strip contained a nested split plot with two hybrids. We used a 97-day and 108-day corn to evaluate any maturity impacts, which in our environment is not so much a maturity impact as often it turns into a timing impact. Plots were harvested with a plot combine, some of which was a week ago tomorrow, and so some of this data is pretty fresh. And the data were analyzed, we used proglimics on it due to the treatment design. Now the key difference between the 2 years, if you look at these graphs here, on the left is 2006 rainfall. The red line is deviation from normal. You can kind of see where zero is, and so if you look at April, May, we would have planted this plot around the 15th of May, and basically 2006 we never did reach back to normal until the 25th of October or so. We caught the snow event, which I showed earlier, is represented here on December 30. You can see where that set us and the type of impact that would have had on things. And then moving into 2007, about April 20th, we have yet to dip below normal. And so as you can imagine, the responses we've seen in these 2 years, 2007, we find that rain basically neutralizes management. And so as we go forward into that, we'll show the 2006 data first. We had three separate plots. And the first of which was just the hybrid and the stubble main effects, and we just summarize those below. There's no statistical difference, this is 0.05 between the stripped and the cut. And then when you get down to the 4-inch, it was significantly lower, going from 62.5 bushel on the strip down to 34 bushel on the shortcut. Hybrid was significantly different as well, 58 to about 46 bushel. That was mostly a timing. The longer season corn simply ran out of water later on. Moving on to, if we look at the DCE plot, we did have a stubble by hybrid, a pop by hybrid, and interactions there. And so taking a look at that, if we look at the red represents 108 day, the black the 97 day hybrid, and so we're looking at yield across the three stubble heights. And so what's interesting is in the short cut, the 4-inch cut stubble, it was much more harder on the yield of the longer season, the 108 day corn, than the 92, and we believe that that's just, we know that longer season corns consume more water and it just ran out early. And so that's kind of our thinking on that. If we look at population, the population by stubble interaction there, the green represents the 4-inch cut. You can see it at the 12,000 pop, basically all the same, but once you get above that, the corn in the 4-inch stubble really cratered. Whereas the stripped and the 10-inch cut basically remained, other than the 15,000 population, basically remained unchanged throughout the range. If we look at, this is on the third plot where we had a hybrid by population by stubble interaction, and I've split it out by hybrid. This is on the short season hybrid, and you can kind of see the 4-inch cut was basically ran lower at most populations than the others, with the stripped and the 10-inch cut. Again, at this 15,000 population, we had a bit of a change in there. Not quite sure what to make of this graph. Probably the more telling one's on the 108-day hybrid. Basically, at the 4-inch cut, it was bad and it stayed bad. But in the 10-inch and the stripped, more water was available, and so we did see a positive response to increasing population. Visually, that's what it looked like in 2006. And so that was just from a pictorial standpoint. I think that kind of offers some insight. It was when you can see differences like that in the field. We had a lot of zeros that year. The high pops in the shortcut stubble definitely made for some interesting viewing. 2007, much less exciting. We had a pop by hybrid interaction if you take it at the 0.1 level. But if you don't do that, then hybrid and pop main effects were significant. I'm going to go ahead and show it as a pop by hybrid because I think it reveals some information there. If we look at the black represents the 108 day, and the white represents the 92 day. And so longer season hybrid in a year with optimal growing conditions, we've seen a positive response to increasing population, more so than the short season corn, which would kind of fall into, you know, what we typically believe about corn production when the weather cooperates. So basically, weather conditions have the ability to overcome management. Some years population and stubble height significantly impacted grain yield. I was talking this over with Scott, and I said, well, we really need a couple more years of data. And he says, congratulations, you're starting to sound like a researcher. And so, and that's certainly something we need to do. But I think kind of from a bigger picture standpoint, maybe where this plays a more important role is understanding these relationships. And we pull it with some of the other data that's available in terms of population response. You know, hopefully someday we can get enough data amassed from different trials and different studies that we can arrive at some sort of decision support system for our semi-arid environments. We can evaluate residue level, the residue architecture, is it cut, is it stripped, evaluate then the impact of skip row versus conventional, try and come up with some sort of a decision tool that will allow us to make our best guess that what the weather's gonna do given the present conditions, what's our opportunities in there. Had some great cooperators that we worked with, and of course our crop production crew there at K-State, and then Dr. Alan Schlegel and everyone at the Tribune station. They helped provide the combine and really helped us get these plots done. So, and with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
I'm not familiar, of course, so we worry about temperature as well in the spring when we plant. Do you have any sense of how the strip header and harvest and more direct stubble
The question was, how would the differences in strip versus cut stubble impact soil temperature? And we haven't taken any data on this, but my observations would be is that it's going to vary a lot by year. And the reason I say that is because we've seen tremendous differences. We've been running stripper headers on our farm now for about 5-6 years on my family's operation. And what we've seen from year to year is tremendous differences in how that stubble overwinters. And so we've seen years where it is standing just the same as the day we harvested it, and we've seen years where it's a flat mat. And I think that's going to be the largest impact on how it's going to affect soil temperature as far as that goes. As far as planting and emergence and everything, we'd prefer to plant into strip stubble than the cut stubble because, for the most part, the residue is still anchored. We have a lot less problems with hairpinning and all those types of situations that go with it. So tying into this, if we decide that strip stubble and having that tall stubble is what we're desiring, especially from a snow catch perspective, then I think it warrants some looking at different wheat cultivars and making those selections for your operation to match your harvesting technique, if we can identify some that overwinter better. All right, thank you.
Let's give them a little. Thank you.